Good morning. I just wanted to start with two opening notes pertaining a little bit to this year from 2 weeks ago. The first is that I forgot to mention at the opening a few of the important recent svarim that were very helpful in preparing for this year, besides the primary sources. And those include the Sefer Rigshei Lev from Rabbi Nissel from Michala, which is available in English. The Beis Medrash has a copy. This, he has almost everything. The only problem with the book is that he has so much that sometimes it's very hard to figure out what you should do. He brings every opinion under the sun. So it's a very valuable resource, but not always so easy to figure out exactly what should be done practically. The second one is the classic Gabi Halichos Bas Yisrael, which is also available in English. And then just last night I discovered in my house the Art Scroll Women's Sitter. Where David Weinberger put it out. And originally I was wondering why you need such a women's sitter. I went through a lot of it last night. It is a fantastic work. And it would have made my life a lot easier had I seen this in advance. He does a lot of what I've been doing is already in this. You can take a look later. We'll reference it a little bit afterwards also. But it's very, very, very good. So one other point in terms of what we spoke about last time. Last time, again, our main focus was in trying to figure out if you need to triage. You only have a certain amount of time in which you can dive in. So what you should, what's the hierarchy? What should be said first? And if you, let's say, you fulfill your basic obligation with Birchos HaShachar, and now you're basically done for the day. If you're stuck, what should you do? What should you do after that? Shemun Esrei and all the other things. I just want to make it clear. You should not be spending your whole morning trying to figure out if you have 5 minutes available and having this kind of hovering over your head and being nervous. Okay, I have 5 minutes and I was going to start putting together dinner, so now I'm going to daven instead. It's not like that. The tefillah needs to be done from a state of calm. And if the reason for the exemption in the first place is because a woman is very busy, so then it's only if the busyness leaves opening. You've done everything that you need to do, and now you have time. So then, if you have time, if you need 10 minutes to sit and relax, that's also considered to be part of the being busy. So it shouldn't be this weight, this burden that's on your head trying to figure out if you have open time. On the flip side is that if you're going away on vacation and you have nothing else really to be doing except being on vacation, then obviously that's an opportunity to be able to daven more, and there you should feel the responsibility. But I just want to make it clear that it wasn't supposed to be this burden of trying to say, okay, every time I have a few minutes, okay, maybe I should daven now instead of, whatever else I was going to do. It's not like that. It needs to be, again, if it's part of the general being busy in terms of taking care of the household, so that is the same tour, the same exemption. Okay. The main issues I wanted to deal with today deal with the practical halachos of tefillah for women as they pertain to the shul. Some of the basic questions we'll try to talk about are women obligated to daven with a minyan? Are women obligated to listen to Kriyas HaTorah? What should a woman do if she comes late? And the different possibilities and permutations involved, and several other questions as well. So the most basic point is that we know that women are not counted as part of a minyan. In order to have a minyan, you need to have 10 men above the age of bar mitzvah. And the reason isn't essential for the moment. But certainly it's very logical to reason that the reason that at least part of the reason why they're not counted towards the minyan is because they're not obligated to be there in the first place. It doesn't have to go together, but it seems to make a lot of sense that if women were obligated, then it would make more sense to say that they are part of the minyan in terms of counting for the minyan of 10 people. However, again, there are other reasons that are more fundamental, learned out from Sukkim, in terms of women not being counted as part of a minyan to say Dvarim Shebe Kedusha, but the fact that they are not counted as a minyan does seem to indicate that they are not obligated. And such we know, again, in a lot of these halachos, as we saw last time, also have to do with what's the minhag of women, what have women been doing for generations. The practice of most women, even single women, is not to daven tefillah b'tzibur, not to come to shul for daven. Again, even during the week, that's when more minyanim are taking place during the week than are taking place on Shabbos. But certainly during the week, it is the practice of most women not to go to shul. notwithstanding all of this, it's clear that the benefit of davening a tefillah b'tzibur applies equally to women as it does to men. Meaning the idea that Hashem more readily answers the tefillah when the tefillah is part of the tefillah of the community, it's part of the tefillah of the tzibur, certainly applies to a woman who is in shul. If a woman is in shul and davening together with the tzibur, then that tefillah becomes part of the tefillah of the tzibur. There's nothing that would hold her back just because she's not counted towards part of the minyan, just because she's not obligated to be there. Certainly the benefit of tefillah of the tzibur applies to women as well if they come to shul. Now, one caveat, which is important to be aware of, is that the main kiyum, the main obligation or benefit of tefillah b'tzibur is defined, and this is for men as well, as davening Shemona Esrei, beginning Shemona Esrei together with a minyan of 10 men. It's not just physically being in the building. The definition of tefillah b'tzibur is beginning Shemona Esrei together with a minyan. So what seems to emerge, and what seems to have developed as the minhag of women, is that even the ones who theoretically have time to come to shul don't daven in shul, but most women do come to shul, again, in terms of figuring out scheduling and things like that, most women do come to shul on Shabbos day. Now, it definitely could be part of this balance. On the one hand, you're not obligated, but there is a benefit to tefillah b'tzibur as well. The flip side of although there is a benefit to women davening tefillah b'tzibur, since they are not obligated, they should only come to shul in as much as it's going to, again, not walking into the building. Anybody can come to shul, wants to come to shul. I'm just talking about, you know, coming into shul for the purpose of tefillah. Since they're not obligated, then a woman should only come to shul in as much as davening in a shul will enhance her tefillah. If davening in a shul is not going to enhance her tefillah, since she's not obligated, then it could be that it's better to just daven at home. What would be examples of things that are present in a shul that would make it less conducive to davening? So the most obvious is too much talking in shul. If it's noisy, it's difficult to concentrate, you're afraid the person next to you is going to just begin talking to you when you want to daven. So then your home becomes a more conducive environment to tefillah. So for a man who's obligated to daven with a minyan, so he'll have to figure out something else to do in the minyan and hold up a sign or sit somewhere else and keep the people who wanted to talk and distract him away. But since a woman's not obligated, so the only purpose in going to shul would be to enhance the tefillah, to become part of the tefillah of the tzibur. But if it's not going to enhance the tefillah, then she shouldn't feel that obligation. Other reasons that the post will talk about, if she's afraid that people are going to tell her lashon hara, if there are not going to be so many other women present, then she's going to feel like she's some sort of spectacle. Again, that might apply more during the week than it would on Shabbos. But all of these are reasons, things that, again, about the shul itself, that may make it more distracting to be davening in shul. And since it's more distracting to davening in a shul, and she's not obligated, then it would be better for her to daven at home. Another important note is that there is a level, although it's a diminished level, of tefillah b'tzibur when you daven at the same time that the tzibur is davening, even if you're not in shul. Meaning, let's say, for example, the 7 o'clock minyan during the week gets to Shemona Esrei, let's say 7:17, within a minute or so, or heads will roll. Everything's on a tight schedule. So let's say it's about 7:17, 7:18, something in that area. If you are at home and you daven Shemona Esrei at that same time, then that connects you with the tefillah of the tzibur. So again, it's not the same thing as davening actually with the minyan in the shul, but part of the same benefit that a tefillah of the tzibur has in terms of being able to connect to the tzibur exists when you daven at home as well. So again, we're talking tefillah meaning Shemona Esrei. So if the minyan starts at 7 o'clock and you start at 7 o'clock, chances are you won't get there at 7:17. Might be before, might be after, but chances are it's not going to work out so perfectly. But anyway, we have a lot of minyanim taking place, so it certainly is possible to figure that out. Now, for a person who's busy and just trying to find any time to daven, don't start worrying about what they're up to in shul. This is, you know, as an added benefit. You're trying to figure out a daily schedule and nothing is really affecting it. So if you have all the times in the morning to pick to be your set time to daven, if you can even have such a set time to daven, so then it's an added benefit to daven at the same time that the tzibur is davening. But again, if it's figuring out if you could daven at the same time versus saying Shemoneh Esrei at all, obviously making sure that you daven at least the minimal Shemoneh Esrei or Birchas HaShachar or something is going to be much more important. This would just be what we call like a nice added bonus, but not as fundamental. Okay. So one of the areas of davening which applies more in shul, which we didn't discuss last week, is Kriyas HaTorah. Do women have an obligation to listen to the Torah reading in shul? Most poskim assume that although it's a nice thing for women to hear Kriyas HaTorah, women have no obligation to hear Kriyas HaTorah. They have no obligation to hear Kriyas HaTorah during the week. They have no obligation to hear Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos. And they are not obligated. Now, this point is going to become critical in terms of everything that we were doing last week when we have to try and do it now in the context of a shul, but when we're trying to figure out and prioritize what comes first. If women have something that they're obligated in, let's say Shemoneh Esrei, for instance, versus listening to Kriyas HaTorah, if they're not obligated in hearing the Kriyas HaTorah, then obviously the Shemoneh Esrei is going to come first. So that's a little bit of the background that's going to be necessary in terms of figuring out and making some of the calculations of what should be davened when, if one were to come late to shul. So practically, if a woman arrives at shul during Kriyas HaTorah, she may and should daven during Kriyas HaTorah. She should not wait and listen to Kriyas HaTorah. She should, again, if she thinks she's going to have other time to daven, so then it's great to listen to Kriyas HaTorah. I'm nothing against Kriyas HaTorah. But if it's going to be Kriyas HaTorah versus davening, it's only going to be one or the other. The davening comes first before Kriyas HaTorah. We'll talk about the brachos of Kriyas HaTorah a little bit later. Yes. So we'll talk about that. Certainly she should daven the Shemoneh Esrei, which is the most central part, but probably, as we saw, most of the other parts as being ancillary to Shemoneh Esrei and connected to Shemoneh Esrei, she would be obligated in more than Kriyas HaTorah. So she should probably say as much as davening as she can. Again, with making all the calculations in terms of when davening will be over, making sure she'll be done in time, and the like. But if she has the time, she can daven any part of davening before stopping to listen to Kriyas HaTorah. Starting from Birkas HaShachar, Baruch Shamar, straight through, whatever she wants to say as part of davening would come before Kriyas HaTorah. Again, if you think you'll have time afterwards to daven, then you can listen to Kriyas HaTorah. But again, assuming that you're limited and bound by the time in shul, and then the rest of the day begins and you might not have a free second to breathe, then davening would come first. Okay, if you usually ask me this, I was debating whether to comment on it or not, but since I was asked, I guess I have the right to answer. Should you daven during the drasha, during the rabbi's speech, or not? So obviously I'm not a neutral party, but since I was asked, I will take the liberty of answering the question. I think the answer is that it's not usser, but it's not nice. Meaning that it's not there's no violation of a bein adam lamakom. It's not a problem between man and God, but it is improper as a bein adam lechaveiro. It's distracting, and the message isn't, because my point is not that what the rabbi has to say is more important than davening to Hashem. That's not the point. And if a woman only, that's the only time that you're going to have to daven, then you should daven instead of listening to the drasha, and you should step out of shul and daven Shemoneh Esrei there. It is absolutely more essential for a woman to daven Shemoneh Esrei Shabbos morning than to hear the rabbi speak. I'll be the first one to tell you that. But it shouldn't be done in shul. It should be done outside of shul. Okay, got that part over with. I checked with one of the rabbi who agreed with me. Just wanted to make sure that I wasn't. Could talk about other drasha conduct and drasha manners at a different time. So that's I think a very fundamental point. A few people asked if they wanted to come. Yes? I have no problem with walking in during a drasha personally. I don't find distracting. For me personally, the most distracting thing that anybody can do during a drasha is talking to somebody else. You can fall asleep all you want. It does not distract me at all. Talking to another person throws me off completely, and I probably would not look back in that direction for the rest of the drasha for fear of losing my train of thought. That's more personal. I don't know if that's, I didn't take a poll on that. But this is what I was asked about. Now, obviously, I think it does depend a little on the minyan. If you have, there are minyanim where Rabbi Przanski or I will pop in sort of unannounced at a time where it's not necessarily expected, just in terms of our scheduling. If you're in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, in the middle of Shema, you're not allowed to stop at that point before Shemoneh Esrei, so you should make sure to daven Shemoneh Esrei. If you can walk out, you can walk out. If not, then in that case, then I think you should daven in the room, because it was our fault for walking in, without ample warning. But for instance, in this room, where it's the same time before Musaf every Shabbos, then, in my humble opinion, it is inappropriate. Again, not that the drasha is more important than davening. It's just a matter of manners. Okay. So now comes, I guess, to the main focus, which is, so what do you do if you come late? You come at different points we'll try to take different examples at different times when you might show up during davening. What should you do at that point? There are different degrees of lateness, and I will try to address the first one at least. Would be the same if a man happens to come late to davening as well. The other ones will be are definitely different for women than for men. Again, if the goal of Tefillah B'Tzibur is to start Shemona Esrei 10 people together with the Chazan, so then we will try and do whatever we can to facilitate that even somebody who comes late is able to start Shemona Esrei together with the Chazan, because that's the purpose of coming to Shul. So if you come too late, there's not going to be anything we can do for you anymore. But if you come a little bit late, so then we can try and begin to skip. So the first things that basically go are what we would call the non-essential parts of Psukei Dezimra. The essential parts of Psukei Dezimra are Baruch Sha'amar, Yishtabach. Again, Baruch Shamar is the bracha before, which is the opening bracha for Psukei Dezimra. Yishtabach is the closing bracha. And then you have Psukei Dezimra in the middle. You can't make the opening bracha and the closing bracha without saying some sort of Psukei Dezimra in the middle. It has to sandwich something. There has to be some Psukei Dezimra in order to allow you to say the bracha. So the most central part of Psukei Dezimra is Ashrei. So if you only have time for the absolute minimal time for Psukei Dezimra, it's Baruch Sha'amar, Ashrei, Yishtabach. On Shabbos, there's an added, again, on Shabbos generally, the added Shabbos ones are less important than the weekday ones, except for Nishmas. Nishmas is on the same level and may even be more significant than Ashrei. So on Shabbos, if you needed to skip in Psukei Dezimra, it would be Baruch Sha'amar, Ashrei, Nishmas Kolchai, right after Az Yashir, right before Shochinah, right before Yishtabach, followed by Yishtabach. And that's the most basic part in terms of what, if you're short time, what you would be able to skip. The difference now would be if you have between men and women would be the brachos of Kriyashma, the brachos after Yishtabach of Yotzer Or until Kriyashma. As I mentioned last time, I think some of you might have been a little surprised, is that those are not very important. They're very low on the totem pole for women. Since women are not obligated in Kriyat Shema, except for the idea, which is that it's appropriate every day to accept upon oneself Kabbalah Salmatla Shemayim, the yoke of Hashem on us, that we're the Avodim of Hashem. But that just takes that one line at a minimum of Shema. Women are not obligated in Shema. So if there would be a little bit more time, we would skip the brachos at the beginning of Kriya Shema, skip straight to Shema, and then, again, Emes V'Yatzeh, we discussed a little bit last time, as being the part after Shema is very essential to try and squeeze that in also, and then go into Shemoneh Esrei. A man would not be able to skip the brachos of Kriya Shema in order to make Tefillah B'Tzibur. But again, a woman would be allowed to say Baruch Sha'amar, and let's deal mainly with Shabbos, because that's when it's most applicable. Baruch Sha'amar, Ashrei Nishmas Yishtabach, skip to Kriya Shema, even just the first line, go to Emes V'Yatzev at the end, and go to Shemona Esrei. Now, if there's a little bit more time, so then things begin to rank differently. I don't want to go through absolutely every prim. Yes. We'll get there. I'm going to try to get as many permutations as possible. Now you get there a little after they started, so they're, let's say, you know, in the beginning of Sukkot to Zimra, so if you go straight, you're going to, like, they're up to Ashrei, so if you go straight, you're not going to make Shemona Esrei with them. If you skip a little bit, you will get there. Well, we can talk about going back. A woman definitely never has to go back to fill in any parts of Sukkot to Zimra. I'm not even sure if a man does, but a woman definitely does not have to. If you want to, you certainly can. It's for Prakim of Tehillim. You can say Tehillim all day if you want. But if you're talking about it, and you should feel any guilt or obligation, a woman is definitely not obligated to go back afterwards and say parts of Sukkot Zimra that were skipped. There are parts, and again, the Siddurim do rank them. Basically, the Halalukas come before the stuff prior to Ashrei in terms of significance. If you have a little bit more time, so the Halalukas 3 and 5, which is Halalukas Hashem and Hashemayim and Haluk Hel B'Kodesho, those are considered to be the most essential after Ashrei parts of Sukkot to Zimra, so we would add those. Again, and then as you have a little bit more time, you can add other parts of Sukkot to Zimra. If you have time for much more than that, you probably have time to say all of it. At least, and then you could skip the Shabbos things. Like, I don't want to go through every single detail. Now, I think this is true. If a woman's not obligated in Tefillah B'Tzibur, she does not have to make herself crazy in terms of figuring out all these different permutations to get to Shemona Esrei together with the Tzibur. She's not obligated in Tefillah B'Tzibur. She's davening in the Shul. That's worth something. And if she wants to just go along at her leisure and it'll be more comfortable, she'll have more kavan in her davening, not worrying about what the Tzibur is up to, and trying to figure out how much she can say before she gets to Shemona Esrei, and she'd rather just go straight and she'll have time to daven everything, she is certainly entitled to do that. One can definitely rely on that. This is a machlokas in the poskim, but I think it's definitely something that if one wishes to rely on, she certainly may do so. Now, if a woman comes and they're about to start Shemona Esrei, so Meikar Adin, it could be that from the strict Shulchan Aruch, even a man would be allowed to start Shemona Esrei at that point. We don't paskin that way. We assume that you need to have Kriya Shema beforehand, and a man would need to say Baruch Shem or Asher Yishtabach. A woman, if she wanted to, could start saying Shemona Esrei immediately. The problems would be, and the drawback to it, so on the one hand, you get to feel a bit Tzibur, coming as the saying Shemona Esrei, so you start Shemona Esrei together with everybody. So that is the ideal Tefillah B'Tzibur, that's davening together with the minyan. The drawback is that there are certain things that you can no longer say after you've said Shemona Esrei. You can no longer say Baruch Sha'amar and Yishtabach. You can fill in as much as you want the Kapitlach of Tehillim, you can say the chapters of Tehillim, but you're not allowed to say those brachos anymore. You can't say the bracha of Gal Yisrael, which is coming before. So you're going to be losing out on so many brachos that just for the benefit of Tefillah B'Tzibur, that I'm not sure that it is worthwhile. However, if you do see that they're about to start Tefillah B'Tzibur, then it may be worth waiting, again, if you have the time, it's not going to adversely affect how much you can daven, waiting till they say Chazar HaShatz, so that you can answer Kedusha. We're going to talk shortly about what you can interrupt with at what points when you're somewhere else in davening. But if you wanted to wait a few minutes just to be able to answer Kedusha before you start davening, that certainly, if it's not going to take away from your davening, that certainly would be laudable. Good? We're going to get to what to answer when and all of its gory details. Okay. So if a woman comes and they're already saying Chazar HaShatz, then obviously there's no possibility of Tefillah B'Tzibur anymore. We're going in order. Let's do Shachris for now. We'll get to most of it later. We're going to try to do it all. So if she comes, yes.
There's a question. Let's say she comes and they read the Torah and start it there. If she's davening, won't talk, the psukim is between the aliyah
Can she? I guess she could. I'm not sure if it's preferable. I'm not sure if it's preferable to stop from sitting in Zimmer like that or not. I'm not sure. I'll think about it. I'm not sure. If she comes in the Orbin Chazaras Hashatz of Chakras, so obviously there's no possibility of Tefillah B'Tzibur. You can't start Shemun Esrei of Chakras with them anymore because they've already completed it. So then you can feel free to daven at your own pace. We discussed already if she arrives during laning, so that's taken care of. So during laning, davening comes before listening to Kriyas HaTorah. Now what if she comes, as we discussed, if you come during the Rabbi's Drasha. Now if you come and they're only up to, they're coming and they're about to start Musaf Shmona Esrei. So now what should you do? Should you, so you have the opportunity, you can start davening right away with the Tzibur. But what should you daven? So I think many people daven Musaf. You should daven Shacharis. As the Tzibur is beginning to say, women are not obligated in Tfilas Musaf. They can say it, some say they are obligated. We generally assume women are not obligated in Musaf. If one wants to say Musaf, you are certainly entitled. You may say it, no problems at all. But if you had to choose between a Shacharis and a Musaf, certainly Shacharis comes first. Most poskim assume that if you begin Shacharis when the minion is beginning Musaf, that also counts as Tfilas Tzibur. Because there's an overlap of the beginning brachos and the end brachos. Okay, the essential part in the middle is a little bit different between Shacharis and Musaf, but that is considered to be Tefillah B'Tzibur. And if you have the opportunity to begin your Shmoneh Esrei to get of Shacharis when they're starting Musaf, that is what should be done. In fact, if you wanted to, if your Shmoneh Esrei of Shacharis takes just about as long as the Shmoneh Esrei of Musaf, then right when you finish your Shmoneh Esrei of Shacharis, when the Chazan is about to begin Shmoneh Esrei of Musaf, begin together with the Chazan Shmoneh Esrei of Musaf, and that also is a form of Tefillah B'Tzibur. Saying from the opening bracha, the opening Baruch Atah Hashem at the beginning of Chazaras Hashatz, the beginning of Shmoneh Esrei, word for word with the Chazan through the end of Kedusha, you can even answer Kedusha because you're at the same point in Shmoneh Esrei, you can even answer Kedusha, is also a form of Tefillah B'Tzibur. So you can come as the beginning Shmoneh Esrei of Musaf, and actually get Tefillah B'Tzibur of Shacharis, end of Musaf. It depends how long your Shmoneh Esrei of Shacharis is, if you're going to be able to get there and see what gets up to Musaf. But that, again, is at least a possibility. Okay.
That's more worth it than saying
Sukkot Zimra. Any Sukkot Zimra? No, I think you should say some Sukkot Zimra. I think it's more worth it. This would be, let's say you come and the Rav says, you come Perkon or something like that. So you have a little bit of time to say some of the introductory things, and you'll get up to, or I guess the Rabbi is just to throw things off a little bit. But you figure it out. I don't know. Yes? Yeah. So we're going to get there in a second. Normally, we'll get to the normally soon. Normally, you would not say Kedusha when you're saying Shmoneh Esrei. If you begin Shmoneh Esrei simultaneously with the Chazan and you're saying it along with him, then when he gets up to Kedusha, you can say Kedusha also. Because you're up to the same point in Shmoneh Esrei, it's not considered to be a disruption in the Shmoneh Esrei. If you were, you know, in the middle of Modim or something, then you can't say, you can't take Kedusha, and we'll talk about that now. So now what I wanted to deal with the rest of the time, hopefully, is questions that arise when you daven in Shul, but you're not davening together with everybody else. You're at a different point in davening, they're up to something else, and for what important matters, such as, let's say, Baruch Hu Kaddish, should you interrupt your personal davening to answer and or to listen? There are many, many details and permutations. I'm going to try to make it as clear as possible. And to give another shout out to Rabbi Weinberger's Art School Sitter for Women, it is very, very clearly outlined and charts. It's very, very clear how he does it page by page in that Art School Sitter for Women. You can certainly look there, but we will try to outline it as well. So the two main considerations that you need to keep in mind is what you're up to in your davening and what they're saying in there. Now, this doesn't mean you have to constantly, you know, be paying attention to what the Tzibur is saying. If for some reason you're so immersed in your davening that you're completely oblivious to what's going on, so do your own thing and continue to be oblivious. If you're not as oblivious and you hear bits and pieces of what's going on, so then you need to consider where you're up to in light of what potential thing you're going to be answering or you're going to be responding to or what the Tzibur is involved in to figure out if it's worth interrupting for or not. So one area of davening where you may be, which has basically the same. So if you're before, at the beginning of davening with Birchas HaShachar, all that stuff, you can basically interrupt for anything as long as you're not in the middle of a bracha. If you're in the middle of one of the brachas, Birchas HaShachar, so you can't just finish that bracha, and then you can answer Tekadish or Baruchu and Amen, whatever it is, you can answer. The first point where it becomes a little bit more complicated is between Baruch Sha'amar and Yeshabach. So what we said it before was that Baruch Sha'amar is the opening bracha of Pesukei Zemar, and Yeshabach is the closing bracha. So it's one unit. That's why you're not allowed to talk from Baruch Sha'amar until Yeshabach, because the two brachas have to connect everything that's in the middle. So you're normally not allowed to, talk. However, so talking, any Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo and the Baruch Shemei of Kaddish, which is basically like a Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo, should not be said during Pesukei Dezimra. If you're at any point of Pesukei Dezimra, you should not say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo to any bracha or the like. Any Amen to any bracha that you hear, you are allowed to say. You're allowed to answer to Kaddish and or Kedusha, a Baruch Hu, any of that is all fine. Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo is the only thing that should not be answered. There are two caveats, however. One is that if it's possible to be between paragraphs of Pesukei Dezimra, not in the middle of a paragraph, when you're going to have to answer one of those things, that's better. So I guess if like in the back of your mind you sort of hear they're about to get up to Kedusha, and you're about to finish, you just finished one of the Halalukas, and you're about to start the next one, it's better just to wait the few seconds there and interrupt with your Kedusha, which you're allowed to answer then, versus in the middle. You're allowed to do it in the middle also, but it's preferable if you're anyway between paragraphs to do it between paragraphs as opposed to in the middle of the paragraph. And the other one is that during the actual bracha of Baruch Sha'amar, the actual bracha of Yishtabach, you don't answer anything. Nothing. Kaddish, Kedusha, Baruch, nothing. If you're actually saying the bracha of, from the one that begins Baruch Sha'amar and ends Melech Mulah B'Tish B'Chos, anywhere in the middle there, you don't answer anything. And similarly, when it comes to from Yishtabach, not the first words of Yishtabach, that's not really part of the bracha, but once you have the Baruch Atah Hashem towards the middle of Yishtabach, then, where the four dots are for the Chazan, the Baruch Atah Hashem, Kel Melech Gadol B'Tish B'Chos, that's part of that bracha, and during that bracha, you do not interrupt the bracha for anything. Either you try to finish quickly, whatever you're saying, or you can stop and wait if they're up to Kedusha. But again, Baruch Shemar and Yishtabach are not particularly long, and probably easier just to finish it up quickly, and then you can answer if they're still doing whatever it is that you wanted to answer. The much more complicated halachos are if you're in the middle of Birchos Kriya Shema. Again, Birchos Kriya Shema is not an obligation for women, but if a woman is saying them, so the halachos are equally applicable. So if you're saying, again, davening straight, and saying what begins with Yotzer Or right after Baruch Hu through Shemona Esrei, then the general rule is that no answering is allowed, with the following exceptions. It's very complicated. That's why to have a sitter that has it. The regular siddurim have it also. It's delineated much more clearly in the art school women's sitter, but the regular art school sitter has it right after Baruch Hu also. But we'll go over it, try and clarify as much as possible. Between paragraphs, so if you're between the brachos, you just said Yotzer HaMeoros, and you're about to start Abba Rabba. You're between the paragraphs of Kriya Shema. You finished the paragraph of Vehavta, and now you're up to Vehaya. If you're between paragraphs, then you can answer any Amen. So it's basically almost the same as Pesukei Dezimra if you're between paragraphs. Shema, the paragraphs are much longer. It's much more common to be found in the middle of a paragraph and not between paragraphs. If you're in the middle of a paragraph, then you're very, very limited in terms of what you're allowed to answer. If you hear a Kaddish, you are only allowed to answer Yehei Shmei Rabba and the Amen of Dam Yiron Ba'alma Vimru Amen. Meaning, a regular Chatzi Kaddish, that's the end of the Kaddish. But when you have a fancier Kaddish, like a Kaddish Derabanan or a full Kaddish, then you have the Piskavla, something which comes afterwards, so we kind of view that as a bonus. But the main part of Kaddish ends with Damiran Balmavim Ru Amen, That Omein you're allowed to answer, that's the conclusion of Kaddish, and Yehesh Mei Rabba is so important, you're allowed to answer that as well. But the Omein at the beginning of Kaddish, or the Brichu, those should not be answered during the paragraph of Kriyat Shema. Any Baruchu that you hear, Baruchu as Hashem HaMevorach, which deserves the response of Baruch Hashem HaMevorach Yolam Voed, should also be answered during even during the paragraphs of Shema or Berachos Kriya Shema. That includes not just the one that the Chazan says, but any baruchu that's made by somebody who gets an aliyah. Those baruchus, you wouldn't, from the decorum and shul, you might not realize it, those baruchus are on the exact same stature, same status, as the ones the Chazan says when everybody's quiet, even during Shacharis, before Berachos Kriya Shema. Any baruchu that's said by anybody getting an aliyah has the exact same status, and you'd be allowed to interrupt Kriya Shema to answer that. So if you're, that's the only complication, is if you're davening when they're laning, so you might have a whole bunch of interruptions for the baruchus. Again, if you're oblivious and don't realize it's going on, so again, remain oblivious. You only have to answer what you hear. If you don't hear it, that's perfectly fine. But you're allowed to answer any baruchu, and in Chazaras HaShatz, you only answer the line of Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh through Kevodo. On Shabbos, there's a longer, Oz B'Kol and that kind of stuff. You don't say that. Just the line of Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. The line of Baruch Kevod Hashem Yim Komo. And that is it. Everything else in Kedusha, you just stop and you listen to if you're in the middle of Kriya Shema. You only answer those two lines. And the only other two things that you would answer is the Amen at the end of Hakel HaKadosh. At the very end of Kedusha, you're allowed to answer that Amen. And during the week, the Amen of Shomea Tfilah, that's not as pressing. The reason those two Amens are special is because they're the conclusion of a series. We have the opening series of three brachos in Shemoneh Esrei, then we have the middle section and the end section. The end section is not as significant, but the end of the beginning section, or the end of the middle section, deserve to have that Amen answered. And then the final thing that you're allowed to do is if they get up to Modim Dirabanan, if the Chazan saying Modim, then you say the three words of Modim Anachnu Lach, and that's it. You don't say the whole paragraph, but you can interrupt Shema even to say those three words of Modim Anachnu Lach. Very confusing. Okay, well, you can go over it one more time if you want, or we can, or on that magical chart that somehow I'm going to make by next Wednesday, it will be there, I guess. Again, the basic idea is that between Baruch She'amar and Yishtabach, you can answer almost everything, just not Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo, except during the actual brachos. We really never interrupt the brachos themselves. In Kriya Shema, everything becomes a little bit more stringent. If you're in the between paragraphs, it's basically the same as Psukei D'Zimra. If you're in the middle of a paragraph, so then you become limited to the most important parts of each of the special things. So Baruch Hu is always the same. You can always answer Baruch Hu. Kedusha, the most important parts of Kedusha are the lines of Kadosh, 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 and Baruch Kevod. The Amen of Akela Kadosh. What else is there? In Kadosh, the most important part are Yehesh Mei Rabba and the Amen of Dam Yiram Be'alma of the Emru Amen. So basically, the most important parts of the most important parts of davening are where you're allowed to answer if you're in the middle of one of these parts of Shemoneh Esrei. If you're in the actual line of Shema or Baruch Shem Kivoh Machusso, you don't interrupt for anything. Again, that's all of during Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad Baruch Shem Kivoh Machusso Olam Voed. During those, I don't know, what is it, about 10 words or so, you don't interrupt for anything. The Baruch Hu, yeah. You can even answer the Amens.
Okay.
Again, if it's good. Right, right. Now, if you're actually in the middle of your Shemoneh Esrei, you don't answer anything. Nothing. If you're saying Shemoneh Esrei, you're personally in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, and they're doing whatever they're doing, then if they get up to a Kaddish, they get up to a Kedusha, whatever it is, you do not interrupt your Shemoneh Esrei for anything. The only exception was what we said before, is if you began Shemoneh Esrei together with the Tzibor, you began word for word at the Chazan, so then you're allowed to say Kedusha. Because again, that's what you're up to and that's what they're up to. But if you're just saying your Shemoneh Esrei, minding your own business, and they have the chutzpah to get up to Kedusha or something like that, when you're still in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, You do not answer anything. Na kadosh, 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 na baruch kvod Hashem himkomo. If they get up to kedusha, you should stop and you should listen, but you should not answer. So you pause during your Shemoneh Esrei and you listen to the, and you can concentrate on what they are saying, but you do not actually interrupt your Shemoneh Esrei for the words of the for any of those things. And the same thing will be true for Baruch Hu or for Yehi Shmei Rabba and Kaddish. If you are cognizant, you can pause for that line, but you would not answer if you are in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. Yes? I think so. You could probably start after the Dovah Dor. If you want to listen to the Kaddish again, since it's a significant bracha, this, we know you can answer that Amen, so definitely don't lose. But I think you can probably even start after Yimloch. Even Yimloch is probably an added, but that, we basically consider that to be part of Kedusha. But I think you can go either way if you want to listen to it again, since it's so significant. I don't think you lose out. Very confusing. Well, I can take any questions. That's basically what I wanted to get through today. And I have a few other tefillah things I want to try to address next week. If you have any questions that you want me to address next time, it's also a good time in the next few days for me to get them. And then I hope we nether to have some sort of summary sheet next week. Yes? Yeah. Right. And it depends exactly where you are. It's a little bit more complicated than that. But assuming you're done with Shemoneh Esrei, and let's say you had no idea it was Rosh Chodesh, then you hear that the Chazan is saying Al Yavo, and you hit yourself, you say it's Rosh Chodesh, you do need to say it again. Basically, we view it as for that day, Shemoneh Esrei is defined. Again, you might say, well, a woman's not obligated anyway, so like I said so much, isn't that good enough? But basically, we view it as that an essential part of the Shemoneh Esrei of that day, and it's like missing a bracha in Shemoneh Esrei, and you would say it again. Yes? So there's a machlokas in the poskim, whether you always face the Aron Kodesh or you always face east. You can do whichever one you prefer. I think the general, as you've noticed, I shouldn't have tape off of this, but if you notice, every Aron Kodesh in the shul is in a slightly different direction. This is probably, I think, closest to actual east. But even if you're facing the Aron Kodesh here, the Aron Kodesh is on an angle. So if you're on the same angle as the Aron Kodesh, that's when you're really facing east. So I think as long as you're not doing anything which stands out as particularly strange, then try to get both. You know, if you turn a little bit, you can sort of get the Aron Kodesh and get the... again, if you're in that corner, so you're not going to be able to do it. So I would turn a little bit on an angle, but either way, again, it's a machlokas as a poskim, and you have what to rely on in either direction. The only thing I think all poskim agree is that if the Aron Kodesh is due west, you are not allowed to turn around east and have your back to the Aron Kodesh. I think all poskim agree that you're not allowed to do. But again, if you're not going to have your back directly to the Aron Kodesh, more on an angle, then I think if you try to find some sort of balance. And ubavachi chavin libo, the main thing is to have kavana that you're davening towards Yerushalayim and to the Makom HaMikdash. Yes. Yes. No. Yeah. No. You can say kedusha wherever you come in. No. This is the thing. If you didn't just dive in yet, you just walked into the building. Then you can answer anything. You're only limited to the lines of kadosh, kadosh, baruch kavod if you are in the middle of the brachos from the beginning of Shema, brachos kriya shema. If you're anywhere sandwiched in there, then you're limited because you're saying something else. But if you just said nothing, you walk into shul holding your child to see what they're up to, and they're up to kedusha, you can certainly answer all of kedusha the same way as if you had davened already.
Took a zimmer,
you can answer everything in kedusha.
So
Exactly. Exactly. Yes. The behavior? Standing with your feet together, not talking to your neighbor. The minhag is to rise up on your toes for kadosh, 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 and most people for baruch kavod also. Oh, yeah? And they shouldn't be coming in and out during it. Again, if you're disturbing, meaning somebody walks in with a child is disturbing, I'm going to try to talk about some of the disturbances and child issues, I think, next week. Then you should leave. Then disturbing everybody else's tefillah takes precedence. I mean, not disturbing somebody else's tefillah takes precedence over the fact that you should stand still for Kedusha. You see plenty of times people are like making faces and things like that. In the meantime, the entire Kedusha has been lost to them and to everybody around them. And obviously that doesn't make sense. So but we'll bleen out there next week, try to talk about some of those issues. Any other questions that I haven't addressed that you want me to address are also, if they're relevant to this week, I'll answer now. But otherwise, I'd be happy to take them for next week, and Be'ezus Hashem will finish up. Yes?
So you talked about starting with
right. So last week we went through, 2 weeks ago, we went through a lot of terms of what should be said if there's a limited amount of time. If there's time for everything, so say everything. I was trying to go to the bare minimum or a little bit above the bare minimum. Berachas HaShachar is certainly an obligation and should be said. Matovah and stuff like that is not as, definitely not as significant.
But those can be said later on.
Right. Very good. Those can be said later on. Only if you know that you're not going to have time later on, then you should say them. You should say them earlier. But similarly, if you know you'll have time to daven and you can listen to Kriyas HaTorah, so you should listen to Kriyas HaTorah also. I'm not against Kriyas HaTorah, but again, assuming that your time is limited by the amount of time that you're in shul, then it would be better to even Kriyas HaTorah not to listen to Kriyas HaTorah and to daven instead. Yes. Yes. Haftorah is even less significant than... Okay, if you only have time for that, that's better than the flip side. I mean, the flip side is much shorter, so it's hard to compare them. But if you know you have enough time to listen to Haftorah, and after you finish your davening, you finish davening, and there's Haftorah, so certainly, if you know you have time to finish, then that's fine also. Okay, if you have time to say everything, the only other constraints would be in terms of Zman Tefillah. Which we spoke about a little bit last time, l'chatchila, it's better to daven before the Sobzman Tefillah, not Sobzman Kriyat Shema, which is 4 hours into the day, which now I think we looked last week was about 10:15 or so. So, if it's between Sobzman Tefillah, davening your own chakras before Sobzman Tefillah, and Kriyat HaTorah, then you should daven before Sobzman Tefillah, as opposed to listening to Kriyat HaTorah, even if you think you have time to daven afterwards. Okay, have a wonderful day, thank you.